Hi, Michaela Lafrac here. The podcast you are about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela Lafrac. New limits on Vermont's emergency motel housing program will push out hundreds of Vermonters. We'll get an update later in the show. But first, Vermont delegates traveled to Chicago last week to participate in the Democratic National Convention. Kamala Harris became the second woman ever to accept the party's nomination for president, with the goal of beating former President Donald Trump in the November election. Did you watch the speeches at the DNC? What was your favorite part? Or did something stand out to you as concerning? Share your thoughts on the convention with us. Call in at 800-639-2211. You can also send us an email to vermontedition@vermontpublic.org. And here to help us debrief the convention, we are joined now by Myers Mermel, just as we were after the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee last month. He's a businessman and a former president of the libertarian-leaning Vermont-based think tank, the Ethan Allen Institute. In 2022, he ran in Vermont's Republican primary for a U.S. Senate seat. He traveled to the convention this year on behalf of WDEV. Myers, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Michaela. How are you?
Doing well. We're glad to have you with us. Welcome back from Chicago. So you were in both Milwaukee and Chicago for both of these big conventions. First, can you kind of compare the energy at them for us?
Well, yes. Just to give you a little segue of why WDEV Radio thought it was important to have its news division there, we wanted to show Vermonters, and in fact, I think we were the only media group that was present at both conventions. We showed Vermonters leading politicians in actions within their national parties. We explained the convention process to Vermonters through the eyes of their own delegates. We provided them with insights in the national elections, especially the federal and state relationship, which is so important because of subsidies. And lastly, we provided coverage of these national policy debates, all of which affect Vermonters. On the issue of enthusiasm, as you can imagine, coming off the attempted assassination attempt of former President Trump, there was a great deal of unity at the Republican convention and enthusiasm. A very strong effort to elevate President Trump and to try to bring unity to the country in the convention. And then at the Democratic convention, enthusiasm was also off the charts. And it was very thrilling, and they had very positive reaction to the unity and joy message. And I think it worked for progressives because Governor Walz's selection was a clear indication of the progressive lean of the new ticket, while the traditional Democrats that were in the delegation were thrilled that they had a viable candidate around whom they could unite.
Mm. You're referring, of course, to the fact that current President Joe Biden stepped aside, took his name out of the hat for president a couple weeks back. Now, Kamala Harris spoke on Thursday evening at the convention. Let's take a listen to an excerpt from her speech now.
And let me say, I know there are people of various political views watching tonight, and I want you to know, I promise to be a president for all Americans. You can to put country above party and self, to hold sacred America's fundamental principles, from the rule of law to free and fair elections to the peaceful transfer of power.
Vice President Kamala Harris in her speech at the DNC last week. Myers, a pretty direct jab there at President Donald Trump and a nod to the January 6th riots at the U.S. Capitol as well. She noted the peaceful transfer of power. Were there a lot of those jabs in the speeches at the DNC?
There were. I think there was a normalization of Trump hating, which was unfortunate. And I would say in both conventions, there were both Republican and Democratic. There were ad hominem attacks. And I think it just lowered the level of discourse. I know the Democratic Party has said that, quote, when they go low, we go high. But in Kamala Harris's acceptance speech, there was a segment where there were, you know, Biden-like State of the Union type attacks on Trump, which I think lowered the level of discourse. And I think people were expecting a more fresh start from her, and that held her back a little bit. And I think some observers commented that they would like to see less acrimony on both sides.
Hmm. I wonder if you could explain that a bit more, because I wasn't hearing acrimony in that clip that we played. I mean, she noted that she values the peaceful transfer of power, which is in direct response to an unpeaceful transfer of power a few years ago.
Well, no, the clip you played is kind of the bare minimum for presidents, right? If you had played that 10 years ago, people would have yawned. But, I mean, it's just a mark of how divided things have become, that just a simple statement, the type of which you played, is worth noting, speaks volumes about the divisions in this country.
Yeah. Well, no, you were there. You spent a lot of time with the Vermont delegation. Did you see any of our congressional delegates, Bernie Sanders, Peter Welch, Becca Ballot?
Oh, absolutely. I was able to interview over the 4 days of the convention, interview over 30 individuals. And I attended the delegation breakfasts in the morning, which they kindly invited me to. Some delegate trainings. I attended every evening event, and I actually marched and observed some of the protesters. And the way it worked is we would broadcast live 9 to 11 each day from outside the delegation meeting room. And the speakers often would come during that time. So we kept our interviews rolling while I was in there reporting on the speeches given to the delegation. And I think I was the only person to bring that information forward. But the delegation heard speeches by Senator Bernie Sanders, Senator Pete Welch, Senator Chris Coons, Congressman Jim Clyburn, Congresswoman Becca Ballant, and Majority Whip Catherine Clark. But I would like to make just two notes about our federal delegation. Of course, I know you want to talk about Senator Sanders' speech, but Senator Peter Welch did a remarkable thing not long ago when he spoke and broke ranks with his own party and kindly asked President Biden to step aside. And that was really a remarkable moment for a junior senator from Vermont. And I really think that he, Senator Welch, has come into his own. And I asked him about it and interviewed him on it. And he was typically very humble about it, but he really deserves credit for that. And by doing so, he, you know, there were 50 senators who didn't do anything. He led the change that led to this new candidate and has given America a choice in this election. And although he's very humble about it, he really deserves a lot of credit and thanks from Vermonters for what he did. And I think he made us proud. The second thing that I'd like to mention is Congresswoman Becca Ballant also has taken a very principled stand on Gaza. Whether she reflects, you know, the majority of Vermonters is debatable based on town meetings. But she has taken a very strong stand for ceasefire and disarmament, if you will, or lack of resupply to the Israeli government. Hmm. So both of them, I think, have taken strong stands within the Congress. And those are the type of things that I hear from Vermonters that they like to see.
If you're just joining us, we are speaking with Myers Mermel, who is sharing his thoughts having attended the Democratic National Convention in Chicago last week. He was there on behalf of WDEV. Myers, you brought up Senator Sanders. We do have a clip from that speech we'd like to play for you today. Let's take a listen.
Too many of our fellow Americans are struggling every day to just get by, to put food on the table, to pay the rent, and to get the health care they need. Brothers and sisters, bottom line, we need an economy that works for all of us, not just the billionaire class.
That's Senator Sanders. They're hitting on the theme of affordability and the economy, two major issues here in Vermont as well as nationwide. I'm curious if that was a theme that you heard often at both conventions, Myers.
Well, affordability and economy, not so much at the most recent convention, more at the Republican convention. Senator Sanders was warmly welcomed, and he had as noted by other writers, especially at The Nation. I mean, he had a take on class, which was very important, and which was warmly received by the convention delegates across all the states. And then it was odd, however, that his speech was immediately followed up by the billionaire governor of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker. But his influence was broadly felt at the convention, not just in his speech, which was welcomed. And he did say something about Gaza, which up until that point, no one had said, which was quite remarkable. But his influence was broader than his speech. Of course, he had earlier told the delegation that he felt that the Biden administration's governance was the most progressive administration since FDR, and he played a large role in that. And so not only was Governor Walz seen as a pick within sort of that line of descent from Bernie Sanders, but also the rising prominence of Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is also seen as a sign of Senator Sanders' continued importance within the Democratic Party.
Mm. Well, I'm very interested in these comparisons to your experiences at the RNC and the DNC. A few people get to go to both. Now, Vermont was the only jurisdiction in the country, other than Washington, D.C., to vote for Nikki Haley rather than Donald Trump in the presidential primary this year. And after the RNC, you told us that the delegation, the Vermont delegation, in a way kind of paid the price for that choice. They were housed way outside of Milwaukee. They were kind of seated in the bad seats of the arena. How did the Vermont delegation's experience at the Democratic National Convention contrast to that?
It couldn't have been more different. And, you know, it's always nice to be on, you know, to watch a winning team, right? And the Vermont delegation was clearly the winning team. I mean, as a small state, they were seated right up front, past much bigger states, right next to the stage. They had an unbelievable view. And, you know, the people that came to speak at their breakfast, right? Chris Coons, Jim Clyburn, Majority Whip Catherine Clark. These were important people in high demand. And Catherine Clark said it well, that people look to Vermont at a crossroads for a path forward, which was a high compliment. And it's clear that even though Vermont is a very small state, its politics, especially its Democratic Party, is highly respected within the national organization and is seen as a trendsetter. I mean, a lot of what Governor Walz had done or had been working on are initiatives that have already been undertaken by our own state legislature. So, I mean, Vermont was really in the mix. And it was interesting to see our own Democratic politicians, and they were all there. There were 26 delegates, but there were a number of people who came also to join the convention from the Democrat and progressive side. It was also great to see them, you know, within their networks and within the Democratic Party getting the recognition that they deserve.
Mm. And Myers, lastly, for somebody who only was able to watch the conventions on TV or in clips on social media, what is one thing that you think people might not realize about the experience to be at the DNC or the RNC in person that doesn't come across on a screen?
Well, I think, you know, these both conventions, the actual business of the convention is done on the first day. So or even before the first day in some cases. So the whole spectacle and 4 days is really just a marketing event. But it's interesting how the delegations that go tend to be more committed. So the things that move them inside the hall are not necessarily the things that might move people at home. So, you know, this past convention, you know, when they mentioned tax cuts, it didn't get much of a rise. You know, this theme of nationalism didn't get much of a rise within the convention, although you could see that they would be very important to court the battleground states that are going to be critical to this election. One thing that came across inside the hall that you wouldn't have seen at home is that somebody like Pete, in particular, Pete Buttigieg, when he spoke, people erupted for him. And it was as if, you know, and people were waving rainbow flags and cheering for him. And it was really remarkable inside the hall, you know, how the delegates responded to people.
Well, it must have been quite the experience. And Myers, we're glad that you were able to tell us about it. Myers Mermel of WDEV, thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you.